Hold on, Steve. Just listen to me for one sec.
You don't know what you're talking about!
You clearly don't get it. You haven't watched the fucking film. Go and watch it again.
Fucking wavy trees!
You don't get it either.
Oh, amazing.
Hello and welcome to OSW Review. This is not an old school wrestling podcast, but we are here to review for you chronologically throughout the film. The Happening.
And what a film.
You might ask, what the fuck? Why are we doing The Happening? Cast your minds back to whatever you were doing June 15th, 2008. Jay and Steve Aleutian went to Liverpool to go see TNA's first ever UK house show.
Still the best wrestling show I've ever been to. Oh,
yeah. Never 100%. Be beat. Never beat. Now, we got there for whatever reason at 7:30 in the morning. Like, nowhere was open. We were just wandering around Liverpool City.
That's right,
Centre.
We went and we got a breakfast,
yeah,
wasn't it?
We just sat there for hours. It was painful, like. And then we checked in, got ready, went out, saw the show. Then we went out later on, and we had a tremendous time. So I went to bed, got up, checked out of the hotel, and then we had a flight at like 9 p.m. or something from fucking Liverpool. What do we do for the day?
So many things. The sights we could see, Steve.
That we saw yesterday at 7:30. Half 7 through 8 a.m. We saw the sights.
There was the shopping centre. There was the road.
And then we said, well, there's a fucking cinema. We might as well kill some time. And that's when...
The rest is history.
The movie started.
Bitter, bitter history.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan in 2008, best known for directing and writing The Sixth Sense in 1999.
Good movie.
Which is his best film.
No, yeah. Not so much.
No.
Not for
really?
Me. Not for me.
It's science, isn't it?
No.
It's not science.
No,
I
Unbreakable,
like science.
Man.
Ah,
Unbreakable.
Okay.
Unbreakable
awesome
is a good
movie.
Film. Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
He followed up with Unbreakable.
Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson.
I think that movie, its strength is around Samuel L. Jackson, though. I think his part in it's great. Like,
agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And then Signs with Mel Gibson.
Good movie.
I really enjoyed it. That film freaked me out, man. Mm-hmm. The scene when they're in the basement and getting fucking goose pimples. Like,
you should watch it again, man. Because I remember seeing it at the time and thought, oh, actually quite good. There's some scary bits in it. Saw it recently, like about 6 months ago. I'm like, this is terrible.
Oh, really?
And then the kid is like, I've got a glass of water. Yeah, I'm a kid. Aliens, a glass of water. I can't believe they came to a planet which is 80% water. They can't stand a glass of water. and then The Village, which I thought was alright.
Great twist.
I didn't enjoy that movie at all. I thought it was a bit silly.
And I think we can all agree, The Lady in the Water, which was downright garbage.
Haven't watched it.
Oh man, it's... Why is it? Why?
I don't know. I just don't know, Steve.
It's just so bad.
And now, leading up to that, it all comes to a head with The Happening.
How?
So, at this point, though, he'd had enough clunkers under his belt, so the kind of honeymoon period of M. Night Shyamalan is over. Starring Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel, the protagonist married couple with problems, Elliot and Alma Moore. So, did this film deserve 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb and a 17% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
17?
Let's find out.
Let's do it to it.
Cold open, Central Park, New York City. Two girls notice people acting strangely before one of them, seemingly entranced, violently stabs herself in the neck. At the same time, construction workers willingly walk off scaffolding to their deaths as those on the ground look on in horror. It's a pretty cool open.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool opening when we saw it in the cinema. I still think it's a great opening. Okay. Lots of mystery. It's cool. It could be anything. It gets your mind thinking. Two thumbs up for the opening couple of minutes.
So they set up the telling signs of infection. Whatever it is, you get confused speech. You stop walking mid-stride. Well, you start to walk backwards and find a way to commit suicide. Across town, Elliot Moore, who's Mark Wahlberg, is a hip high school science teacher and regales his students about the mysterious disappearance of bees. Hey, take an interest in science, buddy.
Not your buddy, guy.
Not your guy friend.
Wahlberg is talking to the kids about the bees dying. He goes on like a bit of a rant and he basically says, guys, sometimes things just happen in nature and they will never be explained and we just have to accept them. And I'm like, hold on a fucking minute, buddy. You're a man of science. No man of science would ever talk like that. If he doesn't know, he would spend his entire life trying to figure it out. He would never ever just go, it's nature. Let's just leave it at it. Like, so right there, that's M. Night's movie making bollocks.
I'm thinking maybe this was them saying, get ready. That's as good as you're gonna get.
Yeah.
It was unnecessary, it was. And like, his acting is, to put it mildly, ludicrous. It's horrendous.
It's pretty bad in this. Principal is coming in and he's like, oh, it's the principal, children, the wicked witch. Fucking sacked, buddy. Know your place.
But he's the hip high school teacher. How else would you know how hip he is? I would say, I thought you'd love Marky Mark. I thought you'd love him because he is the film equivalent of John Cena.
I don't dislike Marky Mark.
No, I thought you'd really like him.
Oh, no, I don't. I like him. I don't really like him.
Because all throughout this film, I was like, John Cena should have played this. He would have done at least a bad job at this.
Yeah, like it couldn't have been worse.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The headmaster, Cameron from Ferris Bueller, informs the teachers that Central Park has been hit by some kind of bioterrorist attack. Elliot decides to get out of the city via train with his friend Julian, John Leguizamo, a.k.a. Sid the Sloth from Ice Age.
Is that him?
Yeah.
Wow, I never guessed that.
And his quiet 8-year-old daughter, Jess, and heads home to get his wife, Alma, who's Zooey Deschanel.
Who has them pretty eyes, like a Japanese anime character.
Mm.
The first shot of Zooey Deschanel is her in a big, stupid, gormless face.
I was going to...
What the... Someone just hit her with a frying pan.
I'm just
going to
say it now.
What the fuck is this?
Her character in this movie is one of the most frustrating people in the history of the world.
I really didn't like her introduction because she's just so empty-headed and she's like just constantly overwhelmed by everything and can't deal with anything.
But my issue with the character, like, she's having an affair with some bloke. Her husband's a lovely bloke, nicest in the world, and she doesn't like him. Wants nothing to do with him. Goes running off to the.
But she won't
train.
Tell him why. Like, yeah, yeah. I don't think she even knows why. She's just a morbidly unhappy person. Mm.
I'm going off to my own train carriage.
Yeah. What a cunt, right?
Like, if she wasn't such an arsehole, I'd say that she is 25-year-old playing a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg has two kids to take care of, basically.
Yeah. Elliot, these are our problems. I'm going to sit alone and cool off. By the time we get there, I'll be fine. Is that okay?
We need to do something! We can't just stand here as an uninvolved observer! Please tell us what to do!
I need a second, okay? Why can't anybody give me a goddamn second?
There's a telly in the background. There has been a neurotoxin found, and that they have found out that the neurotoxin targets certain areas in the brain in a certain order that makes a person kill themselves.
Any kind of rant about the science they use to explain these things?
It's fucking ridiculous. Like, neurotransmitters are on-off. There is not, like, this one moves your pinky finger, and this one pulls your trigger finger, and this one makes you walk up stairs, and this one makes you jump off a building. That's not how it works. It's bad science. It's pseudoscience.
I guess what he's working off here is that you get the autonomic reflexes, like, oh, the stove is hot, ah, you know, and you pull away, and it's like, oh, what if in reverse there, that, oh, I love the heat, you know? That's what he's saying here.
I love the feel of a bullet through my skull.
Like, I would have much preferred if he just said crazy reverse dopamine drug that induced extreme despair.
Yeah, that'd be much better.
A human despair squid.
It's just
plant despair squid.
Made up to fit your plot as opposed to making sense.
At the train station, Julian explains that his wife is stuck in traffic, is on a bus headed to Princeton instead, so they'll get the train without her. Zoe is overwhelmed with Julian realizing something's fucking wrong with her, so she heads off to a different part of the train to think things out for herself and cancel calls from a work colleague with whom she had tiramisu. Oh my god, fuck off.
Those pretty eyes could make me be with that girl for anything in the world. Like, you drive you fucking insane. Like,
would have thought it would have been better if she was some kind of very religious person to counteract Wahlberg, who's a science teacher, and they could get a bit better dynamic on there.
Mm-hmm.
The passengers find out that another park in Philadelphia has been struck. Train drivers lose contact with everyone and stop the train. They're stuck in Filbert, Pennsylvania, where they learn that smaller and smaller populations have been affected. The passengers resolve to wait it out in the countryside. Despite losing contact with his wife 2 hours ago, Julian decides to leave his only daughter in the care of Marky Mark and his idiot wife in order to search for his own. Because that's what his wife would want. What's the best case scenario of you finding your wife? Oh my god, I found you! Where's our daughter? Fuck if I know.
And as well, he said there was room for one in the car. She could have sat in his fucking lap. There is no real need for that.
Yeah.
She was in no less danger with them than she would have been with him.
No, absolutely not.
Worse does come to worse, as while driving through an infected neighbourhood, Julian and the passengers frantically seal up the windows, but they are doomed! Doomed! As they realise there's a small cut in the retractable roof, and...
there's no way, if you close the vents and try and seal up the windows, oh, we're safe. Oh, it's the little tear in the roof. I guarantee you there's holes everywhere that you can't see.
Absolutely. And sure, all you have to do is go a bit faster and then the air would keep any air from getting in.
He could have
in.
Just put his hand over it anyway.
That's hilarious.
So he tries to calm down one of the female passengers by giving her a Max riddle.
I nearly turned the movie off here, by the way. I thought that was the fucking stupidest thing ever. If someone did that to me...
What?
It was like... Oh my god, we're gonna die! I'm so fucking terrified! You'd be like, if I give you a penny on day one, and 2 pennies on day two, 4 pennies on day two, how many pennies would you have after 30 days? I'd be like, boot in the fucking face, mate! And then she'd give an answer and be like, I don't know, $10? You'd be like, you're wrong. She'd be like, I don't really want to play this. Give me the answer. You'd be like, I don't know, $20? Give me the answer. Fucking ridiculous. Now, I understand what they're doing in this scene. They're trying to explain how many people would die by the time you get to 30 days. If it's one, it's spreading, you know what I mean? But it's fucking ridiculous.
So anyway, the camera comes out of the car. Car stops, picks up speed, smashes into the tree head on, people come out of the windscreen, but that's not it. So he walks out of the car and then sits down, gets a piece of glass and starts cutting. It's gruesome. You don't need to see what happens
you
next.
You don't need to see the blood
exactly.
pissing out. You exactly. know what's going to happen. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
It's like the second best part of this movie so far. Look.
Excellent.
Mm.
I will agree that these ominous death scenes, they're like... goldmine trailer snippets, that this is the stuff that you put in your trailer.
It's probably why we went to see it in the first place.
Mm.
Best part of the film, like, there was a cop, he shot himself in the middle of the street, it was really cool, and a guy sets off a large lawnmower and then lies down
that
in
was
its
great.
Path.
Yeah.
Horrible stuff.
Great anticipation, you know exactly what's happening.
I thought the absolute worst was the guy that jumps into the lion's cage.
I thought that was a bit funny. Hilarious. Actually. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he's like, ooh, ooh.
With the fake blood going,
There was no blood in the scene.
It was like Jax from Mortal Kombat when he rips off his arms. Have you got that written down? I'm so sorry.
Block, 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 low punch. Finish him.
Jax wins. Flawless victory. Fatality.
Sweep length.
So meanwhile, Mark Wahlberg is looking for a lift.
Uh-huh. Get ready for exposition.
Exposition man.
It happens about four times in the movie. It's hilarious.
Yeah, so we get our trio for the film: Elliot, Alma, and 8-year-old Jess. He hits a ride with a crazy old coot who has his own greenhouse and talks, like actually talks to his plants. He suggests that the plants release chemicals. The trees talk to the shrubs, and the grass, and this twig, and everything in between, and they're defending themselves. They evolve rapidly, like today. So they've all rapidly synthesized this powerful neurotoxin, so potent in concentration that it can strike an entire park simultaneously. He'd be a crazy man in the real world and every other film ever made, but in this film, he's the sane one. He's actually ahead of the curve. And confirms this by his love of hot dogs, which are awesome.
Would you like hot dogs? Did you get the mustard love? It's just bizarre.
This is filler. This is filler. This is M. Night sitting on his jacks like, what the fuck am I putting in this scene? Oh, hot dogs.
We're packing hot dogs for the road. You know, hot dogs get a bad rap. They got a cool shape. They got protein. You like hot dogs, right?
Ooh, they come across a scared army private, Private Oster. They realize plants and trees, etc., are attacking large groups of humans, which explains why the initial happenings took place in parks. So they break up into smaller groups. So our trio are now paired with two young teenagers, Josh and Jared.
Now comes the defining moment of the movie, where we can explain. Oh no, are they with the group? Are they with the big group?
There are two separate groups. Mm. There are one that left that second, and then there was the second group that had to get stuff out of cars and stuff. So they're like a couple of hundred meters off each other.
Yeah. So the first group starts walking ahead. And then another eerie cool moment where the army private just stops and starts shouting random shit.
That's a Kubrick reference, right?
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Pretty cool, actually.
It was a pretty cool moment. Mm. Marky Mark's group are behind and they hear the gunfire and they know they're next, right? It's explained that the larger the group, the greater the threat. So the first group was larger. So the plants were kind of like, don't fancy this lot. Shufty up a bit of fucking toxin. They don't notice the second group because they're keeping themselves. They're walking slower, quiet and that kind of thing, right? So
then it happens.
Is this the wind
this
bit?
This is the wind bit.
Okay. They're standing there and they're getting a bit frightened and the wind starts blowing. The key point is it just happens to be blowing. The wind isn't in on this, right?
I know.
Oh, you know that?
It was you who said it.
I never said that. I never said that.
Because it was me who said after 5 minutes, it's the fucking plants.
Yeah, yeah, but hold on. The toxin just comes up out of the plants, infects people around it. When the wind blows, it takes the toxin with it and blows it towards... It was blowing it towards Mark Wahlberg. So he ran away from it. He wasn't running away from the wind. He was running away from the toxin that might have been carried by the wind.
The wind is carrying the toxin.
Right.
But it is made perfectly clear that wind is coming to get them. They look over... Because wind is everywhere. And there's a separate gust of wind by the fan on the set that pushes it in one direction.
Sure,
when they run away, the wind splits into two and encircles them.
But wind is random.
This is not a random wind. It encircles them. It's like, oh, you're not getting out of here. You're our bitch.
That isn't right. And if that is
it's
the case,
exactly what happens.
And if that is the case, why didn't they die right there and then? If the wind,
the movie's fucking stupid because and it doesn't have set rules.
Because the wind just wants them to know that we could have had you if we wanted you.
That's just crazy.
That's
talk.
That's exactly what it is.
Like, are you saying that the gust of wind was just totally random?
Yes. Yes.
There's, yes. I don't believe
I
it.
Disagree with you 100%.
Like, I don't think
I think
like,
this is where we had the argument last
maybe
time.
Maybe it is.
Because I knew you were wrong about the wind. And you said earlier that I said something about the wind.
But that's...
But I never said anything about the wind. I was like, it's plants.
But, I know, but...
But Shyamalan is inferring that the wind is evil.
No, I disagree with that.
I also disagree with that.
No way. How can there be wind in general and then a specific gust of wind that runs up behind them and encircles them and then leaves them be?
I just think it's a bad scene for the sake of having like an action thriller or tense scene.
Man, we have come to a grinding halt this review.
Grinding on this fucking movie. We're all going to hate each other after this. I thought it was just going to be me.
Yeah,
and
this
hate
is
you.
Shit, man. Fucking how can you explain this? Like, because there's wind, because you can see in the field that everyone's moving, you know, all the bits move. But this is a specific gust of wind that encircles them.
I would
how
need to see
you...
it. I would need to see it because
okay,
I.
Steve, I got it right here, man.
No, let's. Okay.
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Can you turn on the sound just so we can hear the wind? I just want to hear the wind. It sounds like wind to me. So. There's the wind.
Break up into groups.
Easy, Steve.
Yeah.
Right, so here's the wind. It's just wind.
But why aren't the trees blowing?
Because the wind has moved on.
It's only the grass.
The wind has moved
so
on.
So it's 1 meter thick wall of wind. It's the fucking plants. Oh.
Normal wind, and then there's a specific wall of wind.
This is just a breeze. Two winds. It's two winds, Jay. One's going that way, the other one's going that way. You cannot say it encircled them, Jay.
It did circle them.
It was one wall
it
of wind.
It did circle them.
And then it became two that trapped them. But they stopped in their tracks.
They didn't stop because the wind was making them stop. They stopped because they were like, oh, Jesus.
Well, they thought they were dead, surely.
Exactly, exactly.
So what is the cause of this wall of wind?
It's just a bit of a breeze that way and another one that way.
And that cut them off at the pass.
It didn't.
Virginia.
Born and raised.
Oh, I really appreciated it. Two L biddies having a great time knitting and watching the horror on TV with gas masks on.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, what else would you
why
do?
Why wouldn't you go get a gas mask and that's the end of this?
Yeah.
The news has copped that it's likely groups of people of a certain size that trigger the deadly chemical. It's like they've been watching the film too. Whenever Wahlberg cops it, you know, 5 minutes later, TV cops it as well.
The exposition.
There we go. The fivesome arrive at a Bluth model home.
Awesome.
Marky looks at a fern, scared shitless, and talks like a hostage negotiator to a plastic plant.
This was a good scene. Mm. I got a good laugh out of this. However, why was the plastic plant moving?
It's fucking windy. How many times do you have to
indoors?
With the doors
you've never had a draft.
That is up 5.5 feet in the air.
A particular gust of wind.
There's something else, Steve.
Maybe someone
You're
had
gripping onto this, aren't you?
Maybe someone had closed the door very quickly.
Hmm.
Two other groups arrive on the property, triggering a neurotoxin attack, signaled by what appears to be wind tossing the vegetation. We get a lot of shots looking at leaves in the wind. Thank you. Like, this film cost $48 million to make, but like,
wow, it's like, really?
You shot the start of it as in New York City, and then you move off to the back arse of nowhere. Mm. Very cheap and very effective. And like, you've managed just to film the trees and no post-processing. Yeah, that's it. You one can't those, make a horror film out of this. Oh, can't I?
I'll show all of y'all. Oh, sorry. There's like more news in the background, and then there's some like guy saying, "It's the nuclear power plants." And then there's a different girl who says, like, "It's ancient bacteria in the oceans." So, yeah, you know, they're just literally guessing everything at this point, like, despite having already said what it was very early on.
They happen upon a boarded up house. Seeing residents inside, they ask for supplies. Then a big holy shit moment had to happen at some point, as the story is about the three of them, not the three of them and the two kids. Scared yokels unload shotgun barrels into the kids.
In all fairness, the cheek of them. Like, he just kept kicking on his door.
Only the white kid.
The black kid was trying to break in the window. Yeah.
That's expected, though. Because he was a hungry kid.
Oh. Woo!
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to break and enter. They were well within their rights to kill them.
I agree.
So after killing both kids, Zooey Deschanel decides to drop the other kid and go give out to Marky Mark. "You should look after the kid." What the fuck is this? X-Pac heat here. Just
horrible.
God.
Absolutely.
Horrible.
The acting after both the kids got killed was really bad.
Yeah, that's kind of a truism, really.
It's like Marky Mark, like, oh no, I've known you for 12 minutes.
But he's hardly going to be like...
You'd just be like...
Chuffy Chippy.
Could he not just be like shocked and say nothing?
Then you wouldn't get to see his range. Next up was actually probably my favourite full sequence of the film. Elliot, Alma and 8-year-old Jess next come upon the isolated house of Mrs. Jones.
Abandoned house number 2 in 2 minutes.
Awesome. How would you describe her? Miserly, eccentric old woman with no outside contacts and unaware of current happenings.
Cunt.
She's like, "I suppose I should let you in, give you supper, let you stay the night."
In fairness to her, she was quite nice to let them do that.
She didn't have to say no, but also she didn't have to make such a song and dance like, "Oh, I suppose I should cook you dinner."
She hurls abuse at Wahlberg, accusing her of, "You'll plot to kill me in my sleep." No! No! Which was pretty amazing.
That scene has been in quite a few internet videos. Like, it's definitely tongue-in-cheek. You know
Oh,
it is.
Yeah.
"I hear you whispering. Planning on stealing something?"
"No, ma'am, we're not."
"Plan on murdering me in my sleep?"
"What? No."
There was also a bit when they're having their supper where the kid goes to take a biscuit and she slaps the shit out of her hand, and like the two of them give each other a look, and it's kind of nothing is said for like 10 seconds, and then the Owen actually does give the kid a cookie. So it's like, she actually is nice, you know. She just wants the kid to have like manners and shit, you know.
Which it would be rude if a kid reached out to take one of your biscuits. You'd be like, "Hold on, ask."
Although I do believe that once you've taken the biscuits out of the press and put them on a plate, it's kind of fair game, unless she's already had a few and she's just been greedy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's out of the packet. It's on the plate.
Okay. In the pocket.
Out of sight.
The following morning, Mrs. Jones, she becomes infected with the toxin. She goes out to her veranda. She stops.
On her own.
Yeah.
Not That's a group. True.
But it was, again, explained, plants becoming more sensitive.
I know, it just doesn't really make sense, because she seems to kind of be at one with nature in her little cabin and garden and
she's
stuff.
She's killing more plants than anyone else in this movie, because she's killing them and eating them.
That's true. She's also planting plants.
Ah, you see, maybe they don't mind.
Yeah.
She's eating the fruit of the plants.
Mm.
Plus, I would have thought they would be acclimatized to her, since she's lived there like for ages, you know? Hey?
They turned on her.
The heel turned.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sons of bitches.
And now comes some freaky shit. So morning happens. Sparky Wahlberg walks into the bedroom and there's a doll on the bed, which, in my opinion, was a little bit extreme. Just throwing it in there to be a little bit more scary. There's no need for it.
Annabelle the doll job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Turns around. She says, "Get out, get out, get out." She's quite angry. So she runs out of the house and he's quite upset. So he runs after her and then he's shouting at her. And then she stops and you're like, "Oh God, here we go. Oh dear." Of all the people I didn't want this to happen to is her. Because she's going to do something fucked up. Starts walking backwards. He's like, "Ugh." And then really quiet, very intense, very creepy, very suspenseful. He runs back into the house, closes the door, and then boom. Boom. What the fuck is she doing? The walls are moving. And then you just see her walking. And old women are quite scary in horror movies in general, you know? And then she turns around, close up of her face, bloody, nose bloody. It's pretty freaky shit. And then she starts smashing her head against the window, breaks through that one, walks around to the next one, breaks her head through that one. Then the wind comes in, do you know what I mean? Just happened to be there. So he runs back out, slams the door, and runs into the little room. He seems quite comfortable at that point. I'd still be worried she's going to start banging her fucking head against that door. Fortunately, she must have gone and died somewhere.
I would have assumed they didn't show up, but I would have thought when she starts the window open, she would have like impaled her neck on one of the shards, that kind of thing. But
stand.
Right there.
I would almost, because she was one with nature and all that, she's actually almost trying to help the plants kill Mark Wahlberg by smashing her head against the window so the wind blows the toxin into the house.
That's actually not a bad way of looking at it.
So there are killer plants releasing toxins in the air that kill you within seconds, pretty much. So Zoe decides to take the 8-year-old across
the
farm to the
slave shack,
the opposite side of the farm. Well, cheers. Obviously, out there's nothing. It's just a wall. Oh, it leaves the window and door open.
The doors and shit are open.
Yeah.
Obviously, the wind doesn't go around and go back in the door at this point.
But as the woman had explained earlier, since they used to hide slaves and slave drivers, you can actually talk from one part of the house to this outhouse far away via an underground tube. And that's what they do. So Marky Mark talks to Zoe and the kid Jess, close but very far away. Jess recounts their first date and says, "Oh, if the purple means I'm horny," in front of the kid. "It's very nice, thanks. Hey kid, I'm horny." And they kind of chat for a while and decide that they love each other, and no matter what, they'll just get up and go into the wind.
I also thought the acting in this part was especially bad. Awful.
But what I didn't understand was dragging a child to her impending death. Like, Mark should have just ran over to the little house.
Hold your fucking breath and run over.
I think this movie has made it clear that his girlfriend is a selfish cunt. Who either doesn't care about the rest, or she has so up her IQ. Own arse that she doesn't even notice that there is a rest of the world. Like,
Or she's a six-year-old. That's what a six-year-old would have done. Just go ahead anyway. Yeah, fucking. Although the wind is blowing, it decides that the trio are not a threat and this blowing has no toxin in it.
Reinforcing my opinion that the breeze is random, there's no toxin in the air, it's just wind.
And they're safe and they're happy. They go into the house, go to sleep, next morning occurs, and haha, the happening is over. Happening only lasted 24 hours, and then it skips to 3 months later, and then we're having a look on TV. And they try to explain it by the amazing line, "Act of nature, fuck you."
We'll never understand it. Despite having a pretty good understanding already that there was a neurotoxin in the plants that was dispersed by the wind. We don't know if the wind is part of this or random.
It's not.
I think the film pretty much leads you by the hand into believing that it's not random. But I also don't think it answers its own questions at all.
Well, like, if they maybe they're too afraid to start dissecting plants in case the plants go, "Here, mate."
Oh my God. Also, despite only 3 months having gone by, his girlfriend looks about 8 months pregnant.
What? She's only just done the pregnancy test.
Yeah, she wasn't pregnant at all.
Okay, sorry.
That's just her face, Steve. So Elliot and Alma, they've adjusted to their new life with Jess as their adopted daughter. On television, an expert compares the event to a red tide. And this epidemic may only have been just a warning that humans are the problem. They're the threat to the planet and plants have responded aggressively. And then we get a closing shot in the Tuileries garden in the Louvre. And it mimics the opening of the film where we see killer wavy trees. They strike again. People stop. People walk backwards. Oh my god. The happening is... Lappening.
Lapping on.
Le boom.
And do you know why? And you. And you know why? After America, France is the second most nuclear power stations in the world. Kinda makes sense, lads. Kinda makes sense. What I didn't get, this is confusing me completely. He turns around, people are like stopped and walking backwards. Then if you look in the sky, there's a load of black clouds. Now I'm really confused. I'm assuming it's random.
The rain is in on us.
That's what I'm worried about, Jay.
I knew it.
Mon Dieu.
You know who's behind this. I know who's behind all of it. Captain Planet. So Mark Wahlberg as Elliot Moore, Zoe Deschanel, Alma Moore, John Leguizamo as Julian, Betty Buckley as Mrs. Jones, who was the crazy old lady, Ashlyn Sanchez as Jess, Julian's daughter, and Frank Collison as the crazy old coot that talks to plants and loves hot dogs. Okay, so that ends the film. So, we'll save you to last, Steve. Everyone, what did you think?
I think this is a desperate movie. The acting is bad. The writing is horrific. The characters are wafer thin. The plot is never explained. The resolution is not explained. The exposition can be sickening. To say a few good things, I very much enjoyed the opening scene. The scene with the old lady. And that is it. I didn't hate it as much as the first time I watched it, but I still think it's a terrible movie. I will never watch it again. And I hope you guys don't either.
Bad chance.
See, the problem is everything. Like, the core premise is fine. The plants are fighting back and, you know, Earth has had enough and they're going to try to take out humans. That's actually kind of cool. And other horror films have done it as well. The problem is, well, besides the script being terrible, the actors being terrible, the writing being terrible, it also falls in on itself because they explain the science and then they undo it later by trying to say that is it these algae over in Japan, or is it the Red Sea, or is it, you know, the nuclear power plants? Like, they dance around the idea, so it undoes what they've done earlier. So it's very stupid in that. And Zoe Deschanel is just so unlikable in this film. The biggest problem is why we've been arguing about it is they have visual representations which can't be explained in their own film. I definitely saw a wall of wind that cut them off, but that makes no sense and it doesn't go with anything else in the movie. And black clouds make no sense. So it's a mess. There's a good idea in there, executed horribly and really quite offensive to movie watchers, you watching the film. So... 3 wavy trees out of 10.
Hey, that sounds about right, yeah. The floor is yours, Steve.
I think you're being a little harsh. So, you may call this movie... Well, it's the Lex Luger of my movies. I can understand it and see the beauty in it. Perhaps nobody else can. I actually like a lot of Shyamalan's stuff. Always interesting concepts.
I'd agree with that 100%.
Occasionally, dodgy execution. The acting, even though it is well dodgy, I think it's tongue-in-cheek, so I can accept it. I would consider this to be a bandwagon movie, much like John Cena. it's cool to hate the movie. People jump. It's like,
I know
The Dark Knight is a good movie. It's not as good as people say it is.
That's pretty funny.
It's not as good as people say it is. I'll make you listen to what it is.
That's a pretty good movie. Also, like to point out that we went to see the movie with knowing nothing, and after 5 minutes, we were both giving out at how poor this execution was.
I heard
like,
you.
Heard you. So, like, there was no bandwagoning here. Like,
okay. I'm not talking about you lads. One other thing, suicide horror. You don't see that a lot. I like the fact that there was different ways, gruesome ways, that people were killing themselves. But overall, acting, 10 on 10. Cinematography, 10 on 10. Writing, 10 on 10. Production, 10 on 10. Overall score, 7 on 10.
Hilarious.
Very good, Steve. I would say that if the entire film was like the tongue-in-cheek that it was when they met the old woman in her place, like if the entire film was that, you could have a really good time enjoying it. But they're trying to make it a serious film or to have a slant on it. So you can't just turn around and say, ah, it was a laugh. Because it wasn't. You made it serious. You tried a serious film and it didn't work.
You'd say this movie is tongue-in-cheek. I would call it pretentious.
No, it's anything
you
but.
You think so?
I don't think it's smart enough to be pretentious.
I think I think M. Night is, I am a philosopher, you know? He's like, I think this film's bollocks. Absolutely. I think it loves the smell of its own farts. And it shouldn't, because they fucking stank.
So, it's the 8th worst movie ever, according to Empire.
Wow.
Sandwiched between Highlander 2 and Sex Lives of the Potato Men.
Okay, I think that's a bit bandwagon-y.
Of course it is. Yeah. It's popular to think it's terrible.
There's no way this movie should be getting a 5 or over. There's no way. It's a below average movie.
Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars.
I saw his review. Well, I saw snippets of his review.
Because Marky and Zoe brought a quiet dignity to the role, which is just...
No. Does that even mean?
No. Quiet.
What does that even mean?
Literally that. Ooh, Wahlberg offered his own opinion of The Happening in 2010.
Ooh.
He was talking to Amy Adams, who was in consideration for the role of his wife, Alma.
Oh, I like her. She's pretty, isn't she?
He said she dodged the bullet by not starring in the film. It was a really bad movie. Fuck it. It is what it is. Fucking trees, man. The plants. Fuck it. You can't blame me for not wanting to try play a science teacher. At least I wasn't playing a cop or a crook.
Good man, Mark. Good man.
Fuck it.
That's hilarious.
He's not smart enough to get it. I'm glad we did this, and I'm also glad that what we said then stands today. We have not contradicted ourselves.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So if you enjoyed... No, you didn't.
No, you did.
If you're still here.
If you did, get in touch with us. Steve would love to have you on his side.
And by the way...
Both of you.
I'm sure this was heavily edited. We talked about that scene for at least 45 minutes. So you know.
We will be back next time for an OSW review. It's a surprise. We will surprise you, meaning we haven't picked it out yet. So stay tuned for that. Catch all of our stuff at oswreview.com.
No, fuck!
Fuck! Free of charge. An IMAX play with 43 full screen. And it's a goodbye from Steve. Everyone? And myself, Jay Hunter. Whang! That's Zoe Deschanel. Face. And remember, a winner is you. We'll be right back.